Now today I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and once again turn with me to the portion of Scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago, found in Daniel chapter 6. And I would like to speak this morning on a topic that it seems has become a problem with far too many of us, and it's the subject of faithfulness. I want you to notice three little words found in verse 4. It's tucked away. You might miss it if you were just reading through. But there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, we come across three words where it says, "And he was faithful." And he was faithful. In the last letter written to Vance Havner, famous Bible teacher of the 20th century, by his wife on the day that she entered the hospital, she wrote, and I quote, "You have always been so faithful." Havner wrote, "I'd rather have that line than anything else that could have been written." Hear it once again. "You have always been so faithful." What a magnificent compliment to be given to any husband, let alone to any wife, to any Christian. Because I believe that we live in a day of unfaithfulness. Wives are unfaithful to their husbands. Husbands are unfaithful to their wives. Christians are unfaithful to their church and the responsibility contained within the church. And we just live in a world of unfaithfulness. Is it any wonder that as we read the Bible, we begin to recognize that God not only desires, but he admires. But more than that, he requires faithfulness on the part of those of us who profess to be Christians. Faithfulness is the one requirement for which you and I as Christians will be both praised and rewarded. I want you to listen to the words of the Supreme Judge, who one day will say, as found in Matthew 25, verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, it's interesting that Paul the Apostle wrote to the Christians at Thessalonica, "But the Lord is faithful." And this faithful God is the same God who demands that you and I are to be faithful. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Daniel, the man before us, the man of the hour, was an inspiring example of living a faithful life in a sinful world. For 70 years, he faithfully served God in a hostile foreign land, without compromising his faith and without worrying about circumstances or consequences. And this morning, in the time permitted, I want us to take a closer look at this man Daniel and look at his faithfulness. And there are four things that stand out. I want you to consider, first of all, that Daniel was a man of uncontaminated purity. And this brilliant flame of purity started way back in the days of his youth, when he was about 12 years of age. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, we read the words, "But Daniel purposed." That's where it started, my dear friend. It was a divine purpose. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank." Now, in order to understand where we are in the life of Daniel at this point, I want you to permit me to give you some background material. Daniel and thousands of his countrymen had been taken captive and deported to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar in his conquest of Palestine in 605 BC. There in Babylon, knowing that his God was in control of all things, Daniel held fast to his faith. He courageously took his stand among the heathen customs of that day as he faithfully lived for God under the reign of four kings. Now, Babylon was a magnificent city. As a matter of fact, it was one of the great cities of the world. And King Nebuchadnezzar gave orders, along with the other talented young men, that they should be trained and tutored in the language and in the customs and in the literature and in the wisdom of the Babylonians. And here Daniel was, of royal descent, young, handsome, intelligent, living in a heathen land 1,000 miles from home, a Jew among Gentiles, a believer among unbelievers, being called upon to take his stand against the evil of Babylon and remain faithful in his devotion to his God. From the standpoint of the world, it seemed almost impossible that he could do that. The cards were stacked against him. He was only 12 years of age. And so there he was, in that heathen land, there in Babylon, with a moral choice to make. Let us read again his decision there in verse 8 of chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, the reason why Daniel flatly denied and refused to eat the tainted portion of the king's meat is because the food had not been prepared according to the Jewish lore, and it had been dedicated to some heathen custom and making it unacceptable to a godly Jew like Daniel. And though his environment was one of iniquity all around him and idolatry, he kept his garments unspotted and his heart untainted from the world. He was determined to live a separated life, no compromise. I tell you, my dear friends, this morning, it wasn't easy to be a Christian there in Babylon, to remain saintly in such sinful surroundings, in such a sordid society, was a difficult and daring thing to do. We often sing that song, "Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose and dare to make it known." Notice that first line there. Dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone. But I want you to come to grips with this exhilarating truth this morning that Daniel did not stand alone. There was no moment in his life when he was there in that heathen city that he stood alone. The keeping power of Jehovah gave him the strength to say no as he passed through that corrupt civilization with the help of the divine. The Lord gave him the strength to remain pure amidst all of the impurity. You know, this morning, if the world needs anything, and it does, and if the Christian church is in need of anything, and it does need something, and one of the things that it needs more people who are faithful in their commitment to the God that saved them in the person of Jesus Christ, and to remain faithful in this pleasure-prone, materialistic world in which we live, and have the high resolve to say no to sin and to take their stand for God. One of the new Bibles that is presently a delight to read and to have is the Life Application Bible. And in reading it this past week, it had some advice to all of us at this point. Quoting it, it says, "It is easier to resist temptation if you have thought through your convictions well before the temptation arises." That's where many of us fail. We think at the very last moment, and we go out into the world unprepared. We haven't set our moral standards high. Is it any wonder that Satan is tripping some of us up? It goes on to say, "Daniel and his friends made the decision to be faithful to the laws of their religion before they were faced with the king's delicacies. So they did not hesitate to stick with their convictions." Now closely listen to these words as I continue with the quote. "Sometimes we get into trouble because we have not previously decided where to draw the line. Before such situations arise, decide on your commitments. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to be faithful to? Who are you going to follow?" And then it says, "Then when temptation comes, we will be ready." Now there, my friend, you have some sound advice. Daniel was ready because at an early age he made a commitment and his purity was uncontaminated. Pretty tough to be a Christian today. I was saying to someone this past week, we were visiting someone on Friday night, young couple who's coming into the church in a few weeks, talking about what it is to be a teenager and how to live for Christ. It's difficult. It's hard. But thank God this morning in the same breath, it's divine and it's possible. How do I know? Because Daniel did it. You can take your stand where you work and where you live. He was faithful. What a commendation. But let's go on. Daniel's faithfulness was not only seen in his uncontaminated purity, but it was also seen in his uncompromising principles. When King Darius decided to place Daniel over the entire empire because of his great ability, the other presidents and the other governors became very angry. I want you to listen to the words of our text there in verse 4 of chapter 6. "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no reason nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was any error or fault found in him." I love the way that the New Living Translation renders the last part of verse 4. "But they couldn't find anything to criticize. He was faithful and honest and always responsible. Now here we find these pagan leaders, out of a jealous spirit, entering into an evil plan by which they might destroy this man of God. After carefully scrutinizing Daniel's every move and finding nothing in his life to blacken his character and bring him down, they turn now to his faith. And that's what they're going to do to you, my dear friend. If they can't find anything in your character, if you live above reproach, if you take a stand for Jesus Christ, if they can't get it in your character, they're going to come somehow and try to get it in your faith. And that's what they did to Daniel. They turned now to his faith. Now, had Daniel been weak in the faith or half-hearted in his commitment or in his faithfulness, he surely would have thrown in the towel and surrendered to their evil wishes. But he didn't. He was ready to die for his faith. So I want you to know the evil plot that they presented to King Darius is found in verses 7 through 9 of chapter 6. You have it there. Follow along with me. "We presidents, governors, counselors, and deputies have unanimously decided that you should make a law irrevocable under any circumstance, that for the next 30 days, anyone who asks a favor of God or man except from you, Your Majesty, shall be thrown to the lions. Your Majesty, we request your signature on this law. Sign it so that it cannot be canceled or changed. It will be the law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Now, from those words, we find out that neither King Darius nor Daniel himself, as prime minister, could break the law. Now they thought that they had Daniel in a sieve. He was behind the eight ball. But, oh, my dear friend, I want you to note this wonderful truth. When things look the darkest, that's when the promises of God are the brightest. Have you found that to be true in your life, in your church life? When things look the darkest, that's when the light of God begins to shine. When you look down, and it seems like it's a long way up, God gives you the courage, like He gave Daniel, to take your stand. Praise God this morning that God was down there in Babylon with Daniel. And Christ was down there in Babylon with Daniel. And the Spirit of the living God was down there in Babylon with Daniel. So through it all, he remained calm and steadfast. Notice what he did in the face of such a decree, according to verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now notice, the decree said, you shall not pray for 30 days. What did Daniel do? He went into his house, and his windows being open in this chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees and three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did previously. Didn't matter to Daniel what the decree was. He was going to be faithful to his God in his uncompromising principles. This is what it means when you and I begin to turn persecution into profit and pain into progress and thorn into thrones and scars into stars. We become mastered by this kind of triumphant living in a society that's not interested in spiritual things. And God gives us the faith and the fortitude to remain faithful, that you and I can have an uncontaminated purity. And along with that, we can have our uncompromising principles, no matter what the cost. But there's a third characteristic that stands out in the life of Daniel, and it's this. I want you to think now of his unwavering persistence. Now the law stated, according to verse 7 of Daniel chapter 6, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days except of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The New Living Translation renders it, anyone who prays to anybody, divine or human, except to your majesty, will be thrown to the lions. And I want you to know, without any hesitation, notice the words found there in verse 11. Then before men assemble, and found David and making supplication before his God. It's interesting to note that upon hearing the decree of the king, Daniel did not deliberate, nor did he hesitate. He continued to do exactly what he was doing before the decree was made because of his principles and because of his persistency. Quoting an unknown source, with calm courage, without taking a single precaution to shield himself from the hostile scrutiny of his adversaries, he went to his house, opened the windows of his chamber, put the shutters back, pull the curtains aside so that he could look across the Arabian desert toward the holy city of Jerusalem, and then he knelt in humble prayer. Hear this old prophet, without fanfare or fear, fulfills his religious duty. The consequences of disobeying the king's decree did not measure up to the communion that he desperately needed with his God there in that heathen country. According to verse 7, the decree of the king was to last for only 30 days. I can imagine that some could have come to Daniel and reasoned this way, Daniel, give in to the king. You need only to suspend your praying for 30 days. What's that compared to eternity? Or perhaps Daniel could have been tempted to reason in this manner. Well, I won't pray in public. I'll just hide my Christianity. I'll put it under a bushel. I won't tell anybody else about it. I'll do it in private. And there in the privacy of his own home, he just prayed. But to the everlasting glory of this old prophet, he remained firm and steadfast in his loyalty to God. It didn't matter to Daniel whether the king's law was for 1,000 years or for a day. It was not going to keep him from bowing his knees to his sovereign God, whether it be in private or in public. Now the crowd must have taunted and ridiculed him. But Daniel prayed on. They cried out, he's openly defying the king's decree. He should be thrown into prison. But Daniel prayed on. They continued, the king's going to throw you to the lions. But Daniel prayed on. And the secret of Daniel's persistency as he stands calmly and serenely against the pagan atmosphere of his day may be found in the glorious fact, and don't overlook it, because maybe some of you did before you came to church this morning. Daniel was a man of prayer. That's where the power of God gets down into the inner souls of a Christian. That's how you get on fire for Jesus Christ, and you'll live for him. Robert Murray McShane, the devoted preacher of the past, was right when he stated, what a man is, on his knees, alone before God, that he is, and no more. And it's true. I say to you this morning that the depth of your commitment in mind to God before men will be determined by the measure of our communion with God in prayer. And no more. And no more. If you want to be a powerful Christian, you need to be a prayerful Christian. And yet how many Christians go day after day and not commune habitually with God in prayer? My dear friend, such an unwavering persistency, like that which so characterized the life of Daniel, it must be taught. And after it has been taught, it must be demonstrated by each one of us. We, like Daniel, must begin through the power of prayer to take our stand on moral issues. We must not lie under any circumstances. That's a prohibition against any Christian. We must never lie. We must not cheat. We must not commit immorality. We must not judge. We must not gossip. We must not do the wrong thing. We must not go against the plain will of God. Whatever may happen to us, we must never give up the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We must say a definite no to the king's edict. This is precisely what God expects from each and every one of us. Now, such steadfastness, faithfulness, is not found by necessarily watching the television set or reading a lot of the comics or reading and going along with the latest fad. It's found in a place of prayer that you and I have every day with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the hymn has it, "In the secret of His presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learn at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the secret place I go." Daniel's amazing faithfulness. Wherein? In his uncontaminated purity. In his uncompromising principles. In his unwavering persistency. And before you take leave this morning, I want you to consider finally his unmistakable protection. Notice the words in chapter 6, verse 16. "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into a den of lions. King Darius went to bed that night without eating and without any entertainment, and he couldn't sleep, and he was restless throughout the whole evening." And then we read in verses 19 and 20 these words, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with an anguished voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continuously, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Now picture the scene. The inevitable happened. Daniel was arrested and cast alive into the den of lions. And then listen to the dramatic words found there in your Bible in verses 21, 22, and 23. "And then Daniel, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth that that they will not hurt me. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." And there you have it, the unmistakable protection that God gave his faithful prophet. He didn't forsake him. The hungry lions could not attack him. They had locked jaw, and the God of heaven, who is always above us, watching over us, shut the mouths of the lions, and they could not hurt Daniel. Could I get near enough to some of you this morning and just whisper in your ear, are you going through some lion's den? Some tight spot where people are against you, persecuting you for righteousness' sake? It seems like that old roaring lion, the devil, is just about ready to consume you and devour you. Well, my dear friend, let me whisper in your ear. You can fret and you can fume and you can whine and you can complain. And you can worry, and you can struggle. Now, you can do those things, but you don't have to. You don't need to. You and I, like Daniel, can experience the delivering power of God in your life, because He is the great deliverer. He is. For both saint and sinner, He delivers from sin. Is there anyone in this sanctuary this morning who is captive to some sin? And you say, Reverend Dunlap, Pastor Reg, I'd give anything. If I could only get victory over this sin, no one knows anything about it. But God does. He delivers from sin. Listen to the words of the writer of Hebrews. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. He delivers from sin. He delivers from fear. Are you afraid of something? Some illness? Some person? Some problem? Listen to the words of David in Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me out of all of my trials, out of all of my fears. He delivers from failure and death. Listen to the words of David in Psalm 56, verse 13. For you have delivered me from death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. He delivers from anxiety. Listen to the Apostle Paul in that cold dungeon there in Rome, in prison. And he writes to the church at Philippi, and he says there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He delivers from evil attackers. They'll have their day. God is keeping score. You don't and I have to worry about it. Some of us, we have to learn the lesson. But we don't have to be concerned about it. Listen again to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. I love the way that the NIV renders it. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. That's the God that we serve. You might be here this morning, and no one knows anything else about it, but you are in some horrible den, and you're being threatened by some lion that's just about ready to devour you. I say to you this morning in closing that the same divine power and the same divine person that delivered Daniel is waiting to deliver you. But there is a condition. The new order is not going to come until the old order is going to go. You've got to get off the throne. You've been living your own life too long. You must put your trust in the living God who has revealed himself totally and completely in Jesus Christ. And then like Daniel in the Old Testament, and like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you will be able to shout, as Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever lion might be after you this morning, you and I can be delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, before closing, there is one verse that I overlooked this morning, and I want to bring it back to you because it's very important. There's a verse in the New Testament that talks about the strength of Christ. Living in the strength of Christ. Paul had that in mind when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There's the secret between defeat and victory. In our own strength, in Daniel's own strength, he could not do it. It was impossible. But he put his faith and he put his strength in the power of God. And he gained the victory. whatever your problem, whatever it happens to be, God can give you deliverance in Jesus Christ. Daniel's amazing faithfulness. Will you make a covenant today to go after that type of faithfulness? I trust that you will. And what a wonderful day on this Father's Day that every one of us, in our own way, can begin to live a faithful life for the God who redeemed us in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?